Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. My name is Roger Charlie from Alberta in Canada. It is 7 o'clock here. Nice, bright, sunny day. And we are happy you have decided to be part of this show today. Good morning, Nathan. Okay, technical problems in the morning. We'll be with you, and this morning we are happy we'll be joined by Good morning, Nathan.
Roger, good morning.
Good morning. I can't see my switchboard, so my computer froze for a while.
Okay, we have Miss Martel on the line too. I believe from Canada. Good morning, Miss Martel.
Good morning. I also have somebody else on the line. Can you introduce yourself? UK, come in.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, UK. How is London today?
London is okay. I'm told I should introduce myself.
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Chela Katwishi.
Oh, Mr. Chela Katwishi. Long, long time.
Yeah, very long time indeed.
Yes, yes. What are you doing in UK?
I'm doing my PhD.
Oh, okay. Yeah, since from the last time we heard from you. It's a pleasure. You've decided to join the Zambia Blog Talk Radio. How did you hear about us?
Well, my auntie in Canada,
yes,
is the one who knows that I'm interested in broadcasting, and she's the one who decided that she asked me if I'm interested in participating in this discussion. I said, by all means, anything
to do. By all means, this will not be your last day, I can assure you that.
I'll say it's not going to be my last day, depending on how much work my supervisor gives me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Someone needs to talk to your supervisor.
Exactly, since I'm a student, yeah.
Yeah, Miss Marte, good morning. How is Ontario?
Ontario is great. It's sunny and looks like it will be a beautiful day.
Yes, yes, yes. We've had rain in Western Canada for the past 4 days. I was beginning to wonder whether it was summer or what was it. So we're happy.
I think Ontario sent the rain over that way because we had rain before you.
And
decided that, well, we've had enough. What about Western Canada? They can do some rain.
Okay.
They need the rain in the prairies.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, this morning we'll be joined by Honorable Nawakwi. She'll be coming at 7:30 my time here. Everyone else, just put 30 minutes or 20 minutes to what you have. Let me welcome my friends here. Beston, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Francis on the line. Francis, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Very good.
Good morning to everybody on the radio today. Miss Marte in Canada and the new caller.
Yeah. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning.
From London.
Say that again, Beston.
Telling Francis that that's Mr. Chela Katwishi, the popular.
I think I missed the introduction. It's nice to have you on the radio.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right.
Yes.
Titus Natala.
Hi, Titus. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Sorry.
Good. Gentlemen. Good. Thanks. It's good to talk with you.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody.
It's afternoon in London. Six minutes after two.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Oh, after two. That's good. And then we have someone on line five, area code 612. Is that Titus or?
That's me, Titus. Yeah.
Oh, 612. Okay, 613. Who is on 613?
That's
Miss Mate. Oh, that's Miss Mate. Oh. So Minnesota and Ontario have same almost close area codes. Yeah, so what is, Mr. Katwish, let's start with you. What is in the news over there? What's making news in England?
In England, they are saying that the recession is almost coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment rate is also slightly going down.
Okay.
And they are also saying that, the inflation rate as well has equally gone down, and the interest rate,
yes,
is stuck. It has stuck, and the authorities have decided not to tamper with it in any way, and they are seeing indicators. I think it is as President Obama has stated that, you know, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Wanda said.
Yeah.
Actually, some of us who follow the American politics, we were very relieved yesterday with unemployment numbers, because
yeah.
The Republicans have been on our man. Mr. Mwate, what's happening in Ottawa?
I'm not Mr.
Miss Mwate. I understand.
Don't mess with her.
No. I know that. I know. She told me, I called her the other day. She told me she's very, you know, she wants things in line with her. Let me not continue.
Exactly. By the way, I have my son on the line, so don't say too much.
Oh, okay. So go ahead. What's happening in Ottawa, Ms. Mwate?
Apart, like the Canada, you know what's going on. The local news is that we have our mayor, Larry O'Brien, cleared of two criminal charges.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out of office for, I think, about 3 months because he was being investigated on getting somebody off the mayor as a mayor candidate and promised to put this fellow on the parole board. So they put up a case that it was criminal for him to get somebody off, a competitor off the mayor elections. But after all the goings on, the judge ruled that no, it was not criminal.
Mm.
So we have a mayor back in town in Ottawa for about 3 months. We didn't have a mayor. There was an acting mayor because our mayor was on trial.
Oh, so he goes back to his old position?
He's been cleared, yes.
He's been cleared?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
So that man is a lucky one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, at the bottom, 7:30 my time, which is 9:30 in the U.S., we are going to be having Honorable Nawakwi come discuss with us energy issues. She was in finance. What her take on finance? In Dallas, Texas, what's happening there?
In Dallas? We are the weather is behaving like Texas. We are back to 100 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's interesting listening to Ms. Mwate give that report about the mayor, because we've had a similar case going on here about some councillors who were accused of corruption and things like that. So the case is going on. And it's been interesting to follow and see what is happening. Then this past week we had what they call the Mayor's Fair. The Mayor's Fair is where citizens of the city who cannot, who are in the low income bracket, the council puts up a fair where they go and attend sort of like seminars and workshops, and at the end of the day they give them school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So they are saying that
just like Chela is saying about Europe, because of the economic situation. But you know how hard it has been here. The numbers were almost tripled from the people that participated last year compared to this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are not able to, afford to be getting ready. You know, the school year here starts in August.
Yes.
So we're getting ready to go to school, back to school, the kids, and then they have to do all that, the school supplies thing. So a lot of families were saying they're not able to do it because they've lost jobs in the past few months. So basically mm-hmm. that's what happened. It was an overwhelming turnout and stuff like that. Otherwise, nothing much going on except, like I've said, we've gone back to 100 degrees.
Mm, God bless you.
I think God is preparing me to be a missionary in the Sahara Desert.
that sounds right. Yeah. Based on in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, what is happening in the local news?
Well, nothing much. I've been actually tied up. Haven't had time to go out.
Uh-huh.
Been working on a couple projects, so lost touch of anything going on out there.
Okay.
Looking forward to, you know, your discussion with Honorable Nawakwe.
Nawakwe, that's right. We have like 15 minutes. You'll be joining us.
Roger.
Yes.
I wanted to
add my switchboard. I can now, I'm able to see everything. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to add that, Honorable Nawakwe, apart from having been a Minister of Finance, she was also Minister of Energy and Water Development, the ministry that oversees, operations of ZESCO.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have your hands full, you know, in terms of how much you're going to cover from energy, finance, water, you know.
Okay.
And water as well has an impact on how the agriculture sector, you know, operates in terms of how they can raise their productivity. You know, so there's a whole host of issues that we're going to talk about with Nawakwe, you know, ask questions and stuff like that.
All right, yeah.
To add to that, she was also once Minister of Agriculture. I think it was 1996. I could be wrong, but she was once Minister of Agriculture.
Yeah, actually, she served a number of portfolios. She was Minister of Labor and so, from 1999 to 2001, Minister of Finance, 1997 to 1999, Minister of Agriculture, 1996 to 1997, and Minister of Energy, 1993 to 1996. She also Deputy Minister Energy 1992 to 1993. So she has served in different ministerial positions, and we may actually learn more from her. I have actually two focused questions that I want to bring in, and then we will proceed from there.
I'm not asking you because you are a lady, Ms. Mwati, but I'll ask you anyway. Do you think Ms. Nawakwe is a candidate for to be president any day, any soon?
That's one of my questions, not exactly the way you put it. I wouldn't say that it would be an unfair question to ask me, do I think Ms. Nawakwe would be a suitable candidate, only because I haven't followed her career. I do not know her. I don't know her strengths and weaknesses. I don't know what she has to offer, so part of the questions that I have is to find out which way forward FDD is going.
Chela,
Roger, maybe I can add on that. I don't know whether you are aware, but Nawakwe was my senior in the Ministry of Energy and Water Development. She was a senior energy economist when I joined the Department of Energy. So I had an opportunity to work with her, and I know pretty much that she's a very focused, very strong lady. It's just I think the Zambian society
looks like they don't want to give an opportunity to a lady to become president. But I think Nawaku is strong enough.
Yes.
You know, she can do much better than some of the men or the current men that are leading that country. So I think...
those are interesting points you bring out. Let's bring Chela's take on this.
Whether she can drive the country or take the position of presidency? It's a bit difficult a question to ask because although one cannot rule out any possibility in that, you know, it is one thing to be president and it is another to be popular. What I've noticed about Zambian politics is you've got to go to the grassroots and gain popularity first.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she's done that or not, I don't know. But obviously, we cannot take away that fact that at 38, she was the first female, finance minister, and she obviously ran the Ministry of Finance and turned the economy of Zambia upside down. It started shooting in the right direction. So whether she can be president or not, I'm not sure, coupled up with the various, various resignations that we've seen from popular figures and strong figures in FDD, like Charles Banda. So I'm not very sure about that. Whether she's riding on the right platform or not.
Titus, our country, like Chela says here, whether she's popular or she has the right connections to be elected president, do you think Zambia is probably ready to elect a lady president?
It depends how she steers. I think for me, I look at politics in Zambia is how you stir up the cadres. If you can get all the cadres around to rally up on you with the grassroots.
Well, Nathan, and that's an interesting point Titus brings up. Why are our politics controlled by cadres in Zambia?
Because it has been like that. That's the way the trend of things have been left to be. You see, it's a carryover from remember in the UNIP days what it was?
Osama Boy.
Yeah, you see, those are politics of intimidation. That's what they are. Because you cannot have a situation where the funny thing is that we talk about democracy and we don't embrace it. And if you are going to want to sell something or embrace something, embrace it 101%. Don't say it and then you embrace it 20%. What I mean by that is that, you see, our Zambian politics, we say we are a democratic nation. I don't seem to see that. We simply have a one-party state with many parties existing. No tolerance there, even in a democratic situation. A woman president, it would have been very nice if that happened in 1991 when Chiluba became president. We should have had a woman take over from Kaunda. That's the way I look at things now.
Someone wanted to say something.
This is Francis. I think sometimes what we need to distinguish is democracy and the multi-party politics from party membership. When we link the cadre system or the party cadres as being drivers of the democratic system, then we are mixing up things. In my view, the democratic system that is unfolding in Zambia is a good thing. If only we can, the party cadres can be educated into respecting other people, other parties. That's where the problem is. because the government in power begins to use the party cadres as instruments of intimidation, that does not affect the democratic, although in an indirect way it affects the democratic process, that does not mean the democratic process is bad in itself.
Okay.
That's my personal view on that.
Okay. Mr. Mbewe in Poland, Dr. Mbewe in Poland, good afternoon. I don't know if it's afternoon. I think it's afternoon. Good afternoon. Dr. Mbewe in Poland, can you hear me? I can see your number here on the switchboard.
Is Dr. Mbewe with us or is babysitting there?
Anyway, Roger.
Go ahead.
I've got some breaking news. Next week, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be having the bank governor himself, Dr. Fundanga. He'll be on this show next week. We'll catch him from Canada.
From Canada.
The guys that are in Canada, get ready. I think he's coming to Toronto. And if you are closer to Las Vegas, I will advise as time comes, maybe you can personally meet.
Okay. So that's breaking news on Zambia Block Talk Radio. The bank governor will be joining us next Saturday. And we hope everyone will join us. Mbewe, if you can't hear us, we can see you on the switchboard. Beston, we were saying in Zambian politics, you heard what Francis said as regards to, we have like 6 minutes before we get connected back to Mr. Wakwi.
Yeah, I think Titus and I think Chelakatwish also mentioned, including Francis. So the problem in Zambia is that politics is much more controlled by poverty levels. And these guys in the leadership, they know that the majority of people are poor in the rural areas, even in the urban areas. So they tend to play on the minds of those people, give them packets of sugar, you know, those are chitenge wrappers, you know, buy them the opaque beer, and they get excited. They go and vote. But I see, I think like someone mentioned, it's important that for a female candidate to be able to sway the votes, she has to ride a horse all the way throughout the country to drum her support. Someone can't do that, I mean, it would be a tall order to even dream about becoming president. I know she's strong, you know,
right.
But whether she's had that opportunity to go around the country and talk to the masses, you know, that's something, you know, we'll wait and see. You know, obviously we're going to ask her some of those questions.
Right. That is encouraging or interesting. Mbewe, are you able to hear us?
Hello.
Good morning.
Are the last digits of the number you are seeing?
It's the name was written as R. Mbewe.
No, what? Oh, it doesn't show the number?
No. It's just showing the name.
Roger, this is a different person.
I've also called in, so I thought maybe I'm mistaking my number for Mbewe.
Introduce yourself, madam. Good morning. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. My name is Ruth Mogara. Similar initials, though. R.M.
Oh, I see. Ruth.
I'm Ruth. I'm calling from Ottawa in Canada.
Oh, great. Ottawa in the house today.
Yes. But anyway, just that I learned very late about Honorable Nawakwi coming on your show, so I was busy Googling your number and finally I got it. But I won't be able to participate, but I just wanted to be there for the first maybe 20 minutes or 15 minutes, but I'll be there. So that's why I'm on the line right now.
Okay. Good you decided to be with us this morning and maybe the other weeks to come, you know. Even though Mlankanya Tio, because you are late, you know, ladies on forums like this, most of the times, they tend to stay away. Do you agree with me?
I haven't stayed away.
No,
I'm saying,
yeah. Anyway, our participation, if you know, we start getting Vanamugara come, Bamwate, like this, then we are going to be having a balanced diet if people agree with me. So we have like 2 minutes. I'll be, Nathan will take over just for 2-3 minutes. Then I'll be joining Honorable Nawapi on our show. Oh, is Francis ready to take over now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Do we need to switch or we can continue like this, right?
Continue the way we are while I'm connecting Honorable Nawapi to the show.
Okay. Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, good morning, ma'am.
Hello. As you have heard, we will be discussing with Honorable Nawakwi, currently president for the Forum for Democracy and Development. She has served a number of portfolios. I will quickly run through those portfolios once again and then get back to the minister. Let me start from 1992 to 1993, she served as Deputy Minister for Energy and Water Development. 93 to 96, Minister of Energy and Water Development. 96 to 97, Minister of Agriculture, Fish and Food and Fisheries. 97 to 99, Minister of Finance. 99 to 2001, Minister of Labor and Social Security. And from 2001 to 2005, Vice President of the Forum for Democracy. And like I said, currently she is the president. What is interesting is that in most portfolios she has served, particularly with the Minister of Finance, she is listed as Zambia's first female and first in the SADC region. And she became Minister of Finance at a very young age, 38 years. So she has scored some first in the Zambian political scenario, and we are very, very glad to have her on the show.
You have given a very interesting breakdown of Ms. Nawakwi Francis. It's interesting, like you were saying that I think it's best to not mention that. Wonder how this discussion, the direction it will take, because she's handled or served in many portfolios.
Right.
And we just have to be candid on what direction we'll take this discussion and see how she's going to respond. I'm particularly interested in her talking about the energy issues of Zambia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When she comes in, there are two sectors of energy, actually, that hoping that we are going to go into.
Yes.
First, there's a development of natural gas. In the region, we seem to be the only one that do not use natural gas for cooking. We are still dependent on charcoal. And for how long can we do that? We have seen our forest being taken down just to make charcoal. And by now, we should have moved from the use of charcoal. At the same time, there has been very little investment, although announcements have been made in the development of crude oil. There has been very little action on the ground, including the exploration of oil. Every election year, we keep being told there's oil in Northwestern province, but after the elections, it's silent again. So, what as a minister of energy and somebody who has an expert in energy, what's her view on that? Why does, if at all, why does she think we have delayed in this developing this sector? As Minister of Finance, I was hoping we'll find out. She is credited as having rescued the sale of mines after the late Penza was removed from being Minister of Finance. So the way the sale of mines went through, I just wanted to find out from her. Was she satisfied on that?
Yeah. Francis?
Yes, please.
Yes. We have Honorable Nawakwi on the line. Honorable Nawakwi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, fine. Thank you. Yes,
hello?
we have a lot of Zambians in diaspora waiting to listen and to you. However,
Honorable Nawakwi
has another engagement.
I must apologize.
Yes, go ahead.
I must apologize to you for being unable to participate this week, but certainly I'll participate in the program next week. Due to all my brothers that are in the diaspora, we miss you being here at home.
Miss Nawakwi, how are you doing? This is Beston. Been a long time.
I'm fine. I'll talk with you next week, my friend.
Okay, I'll give you a call sometime.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
How are you, Vanakai? This is Ruth.
Okay, I'm fine, Ruth.
You see, everyone is in the house. Everyone is in the house.
So, Roger?
Yes.
Okay, I will participate next week, Frank.
Okay, thank you so much. Take it over, Francis.
Okay, right. So, that throws in a different perspective. Let us hope she will come in next week, because we have a lot of questions that we wanted to bring up, particularly in the development of the energy sector. Like I said, my direction was to be why Zambia is lagging behind in the development of natural gas. Is there somebody who can come in and shed light on that?
The moment you mentioned the natural gas, my first reaction is that, you know, with poor or non-existent services from the council in Zambia in terms of providing fire services, I think natural gas in the homes will be a disaster, in my opinion. We see it here in the Western world where pipes break, the gas is leaking, and they experience an explosion, and how quickly the city, the fire services respond to situations like that, how many people die in those situations. I think with the economic levels in our situation and the standard of living, I am very skeptical about us having gas in the homes.
Roger, is that nothing? I
yes.
beg to differ on that. I have stayed in Botswana, and Botswana uses natural gas mostly for cooking. If you go to South Africa, they use natural gas. The difference is that they have no laid down pipes like is the case here. What they use are those gas cylinders. So you buy the gas cylinder, and the homes are connected, well connected with the natural gas piping. And that in itself, if it's in Botswana, saves a lot of money. Or there is no forest degradation. In South Africa, it's the same thing. Only very high developed residential areas have the pipelines for gas laid down. In most cases, they still use the gas cylinders. we can use gas cylinders. We have gas cylinders in schools. While we can develop that to home use.
Hmm. Roger, may I come in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we are behind here. After a spell of time, I came back to the UK on the 21st of October, 2008, for my PhD. Prior to that, I will be confident to say that Zambia has already started using natural gas in homes. I was one of those who was using natural gas as in terms of cooking, as I think one of the participants said, we used to buy gas from the former Zamox or something.
Yeah, Zamox.
Yeah. And it has already started, apparently. Most people, because of load shedding, have resorted to that.
Oh.
So that has already started.
The question is why it has lagged behind in the food development. We might have
started. I didn't get the question, sorry.
We might have started right now, but it could have been developed a long time ago. And that's what my focus was.
I didn't get that. Sorry.
Okay.
I think on to answer your question, why it has lagged behind, it's twofold really. It borders on sensitization, mind you. ZESCO is still a parastatal organization, and the government wouldn't want to sensitize people on the usage of gas stoves, because they know that obviously there will be a loss of income if they were to sensitize people to that effect. And so the company as well has not done itself a favor, because they've not gone flat out. The company, as in the, I don't know what it's called, BOC Gas now, BOC Gas. It has not done itself a favor because they've not gone flat out in sensitizing or campaigning or indeed advertising itself in as far as promoting itself on the usage of gas. So you find that only very few people that have lived in diaspora will be able to know that it's cheaper to use gas as opposed to use, you know, electricity. Yeah, electricity. You know, so coupled up with the current load shedding, and mind you, I was reading one of the papers on the net. And they are saying that they will increase the load shedding again.
Right.
So we're not heading any better in as far as load shedding is concerned. Despite the fact that the board has been changed, there's a new board that has come to head ZESCO. So it's a single entity. So for as long as ZESCO remains a parastatal and a single entity that is supplying power into the country, apart from CEC, you are on the copper belt.
Right.
We shall continue having this problem.
I have a question for Mr. Katwishi Francis.
Yes, please.
If you can reflect on that, Chela, to what extent, I don't know if you are able to give these figures, to what extent is the Zambian population using natural gas, and what is the availability of those gas stoves?
As a researcher, I will not give figures because I'll be lying to whoever is listening to this program if I start talking figures, because I may not have done my research. All I know is that the majority of Zambians that were in diaspora that have migrated back home,
yes,
are using gas stoves because they've used it before.
Yes.
Those who have not used it before are skeptical. And to what extent, I can say they are minute. There are very few Zambians in diaspora that have decided to go back home. Most of them decided to migrate during the time of the Levi Mwanawasa era, because they did see the economy blossoming. But currently, some of them, those who are thinking about going home, have put a big question mark, because they want to see to which direction is President Rupia Bwezani Banda shipping, you know, this ship, or taking this ship.
Right. And what Chela has brought in is very, very important consideration. If you look at the natural gas situation again, what we need in Zambia is not wholesome introduction at the moment. It's education. There is need for people to be educated as to the benefits of natural gas. And also into the usage, how they can use and benefit from the cost-saving benefits that arise from the usage of natural gas. So if we are to do that, it has to take the government, like Chela is saying, to bring in an wholesome education system or sensitization program onto the usage of natural gas. Let me go to the phone line, and probably Beston, as a person who worked in the Ministry of Energy, where do you see the Ministry of Energy and natural gas?
Thank you, Francis. This is Beston in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's the issue of development of natural gas. You know, those are some of the issues that, you know, the Minister of Energy has looked at in terms of developing alternative energy resources. But I think at the time when I worked there, natural gas or petroleum development were not even in the picture. In the last probably 2 or 3 years that these issues of development natural gas have come into the fore, with statements from the late Mwanawasa that there were discoveries of natural gas, petroleum in its, in our northwestern and eastern provinces. But having said that, the couple of issues that we need to look at, you know, natural gas, like Chair Katwish has mentioned, I remember as far back as in the 70s or 80s, thereabouts, some people were already using natural gas for, you know, as a fuel to run their refrigerators. I think the problem at the moment is that, you know, the company, is it Bogas? They haven't done, like you mentioned, they haven't done any marketing at all to advertise their product in terms of for people to look at the natural gas as a source of energy for cooking in terms of, one, efficiency, that they can cook much quicker using natural gas. So when they do that, they'll be able to save, you know, the money they spend on, you know, energy. And two, it's the aspect of, you know, being much more independent of ZESCO, which is a monopoly that takes advantage of the people. So the company that, you know, produces natural gas, I think they kind of lost it because they're much more focused on companies like they do manufacturing, you know, welding, steel and stuff like that, and the hospitals. So I think the problem with the, there's a problem there with the Minister of Energy in terms of, you know, the direction that should be taken to develop natural gas. I think the government also has a role to play. Apart from just shielding ZESCO, they also need to be more proactive in developing other alternative sources of energy. As you see, there's a crisis where they constantly, I mean, the last maybe 3 or 4 years, load shedding has been the norm. And I think it's not right for the company to go on load shedding when they could have even invested themselves in alternative sources of energy. So I think it's a government issue there, as well as the private sector to go in and you know, develop natural gas.
Okay, Beston, we have a new caller on line 7 calling from, I think, area code 482.
Yes, it's Richard Mbewe.
Okay, Dr. Mbewe, welcome to the program.
Welcome, gentlemen. I wanted to stay back and listen to you, but you are calling me all the time, so my hiding couldn't work. And secondly, I wanted to Miss Nawakwi to come, but it appears she won't be able, because now I was changing, going to my home office in the where I won't be disturbing my family with my Zambian politics. on the other hand, I've just been listening to this gentleman who has been talking about energy and the use of gas and what Beston has said. I want to chip in just one clear thing, gentlemen. If we have to use gas in Zambia, we have to change the culture of the way people do things. Before we even think of introducing gas, because once you introduce gas, it means there should be new machines for cooking. Because so far people use charcoal, right? And you know, charcoal is diminishing. The forests are very far away; they are almost diminished. The Wildlife Fund is going to kill us very, very soon for misusing those resources, the forest resources, right? So, which means there's an urgent need to find new sources of energy for Zambia. But this should be household energy. Either it should be from electricity or coal or gas or something. Whichever we choose, it means a way of changing the way people do things. It will mean households will have to start cooking with gas. Secondly, here in Poland, the whole country virtually is on gas. Even the industries, they heat industries, giant companies like NCZ in Zambia, they are heated using gas, right? I know NCZ, it was planned for coal, right? And now if coal is finishing, then you have to change the whole plant to start taking, for example, electricity or diesel. So the same thing we have to do in Zambia, change the mentality of the people, which means all households should have this gas cooker, for example, right? A small one, because people won't afford those big ones. Secondly, if it's big cities, you have to put up a gas network, just like you have a water system. Right? And those are massive investments which can only be done by the government or some or the gas supplier, right? But this gas supplier will be interested. It is like, I'll give an example, it's like Zamtel. Zamtel has to put up telephone lines all over the country so that households are connected to the telephone lines, and Zamtel makes money on the phone calls, right? The same applies to the gas system. Some gas company will have to set up a gas network throughout the country, and then households are connected to the gas network, and you end by selling gas to these people, which means changing the network.
Dr. Mbewe,
yeah.
In the earliest developmental stage, like I have already mentioned,
yes,
there might not be any need to lay the gas pipe network. We can be buying the gas.
These cylinders. Small ones, let's call them Tuma Prama. I don't know how they are called.
No. Gas cylinders.
Okay, gas cylinders. Yes, that's another alternative. Yes.
That will be cheaper for most gas companies.
So they start selling gas cylinders, and then you've got at home where once you buy the cylinder, you connect it with a pipe to your cooker, to your gas cooker.
Right.
Which means buying a gas cooker.
Definitely.
Which means changing the way people cook. Instead of using charcoal, they start using gas.
That's what
it means.
Talking about orientation of the people's mind, education in terms of the use of natural gas, those have to be done.
And that's excellent. Which means
right.
There are only two possibilities. Either the government does that, or some gas company comes up and sets up that thing and starts advertising, encouraging people to use gas. If you remember in the 70s, my dear, when we were children, we used to watch this football team, Union Carbide. Do you remember that company?
Right.
Union Carbide, it used to come at the football stadium of a school and show us those, we know today that those are the, these ones, the so-called Italian Western films, right? Of Hugh Briner and so on, John Wayne. You remember those cowboy films, right?
Oh, right.
But that company, Union Carbide, was advertising its product, Yucca batteries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, encouraging people to buy Yucca batteries. So which means there should be a company which will come using similar marketing tactics, like the way Beston said, to start advertising to people that they can use gas instead of charcoal.
Okay.
Especially that charcoal is diminishing.
I think he was a member of parliament, or he was at the desk of former President Chiruba at the White House, Honorable Tshala. Good afternoon. You've been listening to the program.
Yes, I've been listening to it very well.
Yes. Go ahead. What's your take?
Pardon?
On the discussion which is going on right now, what is your take on the development of gas in Zambia?
I think that could be a very good thing, just because by now in Zambia, all the forests are becoming desert because of the use of charcoal that our people have been used to. This, as our late president Mwanawasa had said, that there was a possibility to discover gas in Northern Province. That can help the country very much. Because up to now, ZESCO, the utility company in Zambia, which has a monopoly, doesn't have the capacity to supply the power to all corners of Zambia. And just as we are by now, we are all suffering from the shutdowns. At least you may have power from ZESCO for about 3 hours a day.
Mm.
And the most factories are in trouble. Therefore, I thought that the idea of introducing some other power can contribute to Zambia.
Okay, that's a very interesting observation, Mr. Tshala. And thank you for coming and listening to our program.
Thank you.
One thing that I have an issue with in this particular topic is that ZAMO was privatized, and I think it was sold to Sasol of South Africa. And Sasol in South Africa is big business, and their main business is provision of natural gas. Here we have an investor that has come into the country with a promise of developing the natural gas market. But they have, like Beston said, only concentrated on commercial use of natural gas.
Yeah.
What is the government doing in that? And it appears the government has done nothing or is doing literally nothing until the late Mwanawasa's announcement. As a person who was in government, Mr. Tshala, what do you think it should take for government to come up with a policy? Because we can talk of the development of natural gas, but in the absence of a policy, there's very little people can do.
Yeah, in the first place, the government has a duty to provide the policies to attract investors to come into Zambia. If our policies are not quite sure, every investor could doubt to invest anything at all in our country. As you are saying, Zamox was based in Indola, and I think up to now, that company was sold during the Chiruba government. Unfortunately, they haven't shown anything to improve on what they were doing before, if anything at all, they have gone even down. They have a big workshop in Shaisheki Road here in Lusaka, but there's nothing to indicate that they are producing any gas at all. And all these things are all centered in Lusaka and in Dola. See, there's more life in the rural areas. There's more money in the rural areas. So investors, the government, first of all, must provide the road network to ensure that the companies that are coming in have got the better roads on which to run their vehicles, because it's very costly to run a vehicle on a rough road. Equally, the government must provide incentives in form of taxes, you know, for any company that is going to invest into rural areas. Otherwise, people in the rural areas are also suffering. They are called the Zambians, but they are not enjoying the same benefits of the people that are in the urban areas. Therefore, it's up to our government to come up, open up, and say that they are going to do that. And if they say it, they must be seen to be doing it, you know. Saying something is different from doing it. All that we need is to see somebody doing something that's going to help the people in the rural areas. At least, as you said, our government has not done anything at all to show that they can attract the investors into the rural areas. I think that's my opinion about these things.
Can I come in, Roger?
Yes, please.
I think I beg to differ with Mr. Chishala here in terms of the government attracting investors. I think that Zambia has got one of the best policies in the Southern South African Sub-Saharan region. The problem is on the implementation of these policies. During the 1991, I don't belong to any political party. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a journalist by profession, and my interest.
That's quite good, yes.
My interest. My name is Chela Katishi. My interest is in looking at things twofold. You look at an issue from this perspective, and you look at it from the other perspective. So, Mr. Chala, I beg to differ with you there, sir, because in 1991, when the MMD government came to power, you people decided to draw up. I'm saying you people because you were part of the MMD. You people decided to draw up. Yes, you drew up policies. You went to Garden House, drew up policies.
Yes.
Very intelligent policies. You had drawn very intelligent people together to put together a document, and currently that document is still in place. Why do I say this? Because the MMD is still in power from 1991. So if you say it is the policies that is a problem, there I would differ with you. I think it is the implementation of the policies that you drew. The problem that we've had is each president that has come on has decided to come up with his own issue to say, I'm not the Chiluba MMD, I'm the Mwanawasa MMD.
Uh-huh.
Here's Rupia Banda who comes out. He says, I'm not the Mwanawasa MMD, I am the Banda MMD. Why do I say that? Because it is MMD. I'll give you a practical example here. It is MMD that decided to get to privatize Zanaco, right? And here is the president, who is MMD, called President Banda, who points a finger at his fellow MMD member called Magande, and says, you sold Zanaco. Now, wait a minute, who sold Zanaco? Is it MMD or is it Mwanawasa, or is it by individual basis? I think the policies are there. It is the implementation of these policies that our country lacks. And for as long as these implementation of policies is lacked, behind. We shall continue with the aspect of name-calling. And in the process of name-calling, there will be disrespect at the top. And when the elephants fight, when the two giants fight, it is the grass that suffers.
The grass.
Which is what is happening right now. Let's be realistic about the energy aspect. Zambia right now, according to statistics of Earth Trends, the environmental information portal, which I have in front of me here, we are exporting more power. We are exporting, less power and importing more power. Now, if that aspect is put into perspective, then what we need to do now is to ensure that we come to terms to reality and say, look, here we are. We cannot do with the situation that is happening. Homes, what is happening in these different homes, people have got their gadgets that are being damaged. They cannot sue because of the situation that is back home. Whereas if it was here, if anything, any item that I have in this home goes off, I will be able to sue the EDF who are supplying power to my home.
It is an
aspect of the implementation of the policies that we have. It is the implementation that is the problem there, Mr. Tshala.
It's nice to have an eloquent contributor like Chela Katwisho on the program, and you have brought in a very, very important perspective. Let me go to the phone lines and ask Ms. Mwate to make her contribution.
No, I stay out of this one.
That's a good one. Let me go then to Nathan. Nathan,
okay.
Yes, please.
Like you have rightly said, and Chela has opened up
a
yeah, yeah. And I know Ethan is just itching to talk here now.
I'm taking my time.
I know. One of the things let me mention here is that we need to understand when we talk about the conversion and the transition of changing the mindset of the people. It takes me to this Chela will probably also help us on the guidelines here. Advertising regulations in our country, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do not see this gas company putting a commercial in the Zambian media to say you are going to save money by switching to natural gas, okay? Because like we earlier mentioned, that will be hitting or killing ZESCO, and
exactly,
the government won't allow that, okay?
Exactly.
In the West, you can advertise and say Ford is better than Honda. In the West, they do that. You can even mention your competitor in your advertising. But
mm-hmm,
I don't think in our country that is regulations don't allow that, Mr. Katwisho.
No.
Am I right?
No.
No, they don't.
You see,
they don't
so
allow
that is one aspect. Even Richard addressed the issue of the education of converting to gas or bringing the gas usage to the community is a massive challenge, in my opinion. Then secondly, government supervision here comes into play. Okay? They regulate the market so strongly that it's very difficult. We probably don't even know. Honorable Tshala, who's served in government, can help us know. He understands this. I'm thinking to myself, probably that gas company has been told just focus on the industrial aspect of the economy. Because if they go domestic, they are taking a big chunk of a source of revenue and income from ZESCO. And it's going to be a very difficult challenge here. One thing that I appreciate that Honorable Tshala said is that this issue of investments to these incentives to investors, I wish they could really approach it the way Honorable Tshala said. You invest in the rural areas, you get government incentive. Not the way it is now. I think for now, let me end here.
So, in essence, Chela and Nathan, you are hitting on the political will of the government to implement policies. The policies are there on
the
paper.
It is not the government. Mind you, the government has left it to the Energy Regulation Board.
Yes.
The policies are there in place. We have the Energy Regulation Board here. That is in place.
I have followed the Energy Regulation Board. The only
yes.
announcements I have heard are price increases.
That's what I'm saying.
They are more of a price announcer.
I've never heard a reduction before.
Right.
I beg to be corrected if there has been any correction when the economy has improved. I mean, I'm not shooting at anybody here, but at the end of the day, we need to call a fact. It is the implementation aspect that I'm more concerned. And even if the government comes in on the aspect of allowing, much as Energy Regulation Board has been given the two-way, the overall person is still the government.
Right.
Am I right, Mr. Chala, or not?
You are quite right, huh?
Yeah. So
the problem that there is... Go on.
Yeah. So if, for example, as one participant alluded to the fact that the advert cannot be put, the advertising aspect cannot be put or cannot be paid for on ZNBC to say, can you switch from Zesco or electricity to natural gas?
Yeah.
Alternatively, if the
you have 1 minute 10 seconds.
If Zamox decides to go to these other private television stations, their area of coverage is limited.
Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we are coming to almost to the end of our program. And I just wish Honorable Nawaku was on to this issue further. In the next segment, we will be discussing with Transparent International. We want to look at the situation of corruption in Zambia. You will need to call in, and it's just been brought to our attention that next week, Saturday, we will be having the Bank of Zambia Governor, Dr. Caleb Fundanga, on our show.
Roger, before you go.
Yes, go on, Chela.
I beg to be congratulated here. My wife and I have turned 1 year on a lighter note for our one wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Francis,
can I add something on that discussion regarding
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear, some of the discussions going on, but I look at this aspect of, people switching to natural gas vis-a-vis the issues of continuous load shedding by Zesco and the impact it's having on industry. One of the things I look, for a Minister of Energy, one of the things they need to look at is it's important to diversify energy sources to specifically natural gas, because what that is going to mean is that once natural gas becomes more widespread, the use of electric in their homes will be reduced, and that will mean that industries, there's potential to develop more industries because electric will be much more available then than the situation is now.
So I think the economists in Zambia, including those in the Ministry of Energy, need to look at even Energy Regulatory Board. They need to look at the development of gas as a potential to the development of industry, because that frees the amount of more electric that can go into the development of industry. There will be very little load shedding because more electric will be available. People will spend less on cooking. So what that would mean economically is that people will be able to save more money. That will improve their ability to spend much other more pressing needs in terms of education, health, and other things.
Exactly, Beston. I've been thinking why this they're saying that the government wouldn't want to develop natural gas because the market for ZESCO will go down, and yet we are seeing that ZESCO is failing to cope up with the supply of power, both to domestic and commercial use. And like you are saying, it can also help a lot in terms of allowing ZESCO to export more than it is probably currently doing. If the the home consumers were to switch to natural gas, and there is a lot of savings in that, both not just in terms of cost, but in terms of the forest degradation that we have seen in Zambia. I grew up in an area where we could just walk into the bush and hunt the little birds, but now there is no bush we can go to. Everything has been taken down. If you remember, we used to go in the bush to get at the, we used to call it masalampata, the grape-like fruit. There is no more. You really have to walk a long distance to cover that. Let me go back to Mr. Chishara. How do you think the government or the consumers, the government, and the commercial gas suppliers, how can they come together in ensuring that the supply of commercial home cooking gas is enhanced?
One thing is that sometimes when a political body is sitting, regulating the future of power in the country, sometimes private people are called in to go and contribute how they can help to improve whatever is on the land at the moment. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, it is the RRB that is a monopoly. Whatever people have put in, manufacturers have distributed, and said what they how they feel they can run their businesses. They feel the pinch. If the man is investing the money, who feels the pinch? Unfortunately, the RRB appears to have more power than the ordinary people in the street. The people are contributing to whatever we are talking about. That's the problem which might have, unless the government changes. We in government must change our attitude to listen to the people. Because today, you came back to Zambia, you went in the rural areas. You won't think it's the rural areas that you left some years ago, like Wanakatwisi, Chelakatwisi. The time we left Zambia, things were a bit bush. But at the moment now, if you're going to drive between Lusaka and Kabwe, you'll be surprised. Along that road, the big buildings have gone up. And there are more industries coming up in the rural areas. There's more that they can do, but due to lack of power, lack of energy, and lack of listening from our government to say that these people who are the owners of the businesses are the ones who can determine to see what is it that they can do, and the government must support that. Unfortunately, there has been no agreement between the investor, the government, and the consumer. I think our government, we should change our attitude and be into the budget. Today you are in government. Tomorrow you won't be in government. Today you are a president. tomorrow is going to be a president. Therefore, we must begin to plan for everybody in the nation. If there was that agreement, there are more people in the private sector who have a lot of ideas, good ideas, which may serve the nation. But because of the monopoly of a few people, either in cabinet or somewhere else, who try to influence any decision. Otherwise, if we continue at our speed now, at our rate now, we are going to remain as we are for many years to come. Our governments must open up their ears and their eyes to listen to what people are saying. Then we can improve.
Hey, let me go to Titus. You have been quiet, my friend. What is your contribution on this? Hello? Hello, Titus?
Yes, I think my contribution to this is I'm looking forward to, we are going around trying to find how to bring these people together. How about the idea where the same Zesco offers it, because there'll be no self-competition. It's gaining both ways. It's got this electric stove already in houses. So if they just take up this, that's how even the government can help in, because it's just a matter of empowering the same Zesco to take up that and promote it. So somebody who can do that is given even an incentive, because something that you help out in terms of these people cutting the forest.
Well, like...
Can I come in there, Roger?
Sure.
Can I come in, Roger?
Yeah,
go ahead. Chila.
Titus has asked a very important question. But Titus, before you Zesco's hands, from my perspective and my point of view, personal point of view, I feel that Zesco's hands are full already. Why do I say this?
Yeah.
Because the infrastructure that we have for hydropower is still the same infrastructure that was built in 1964. So if Zesco has failed in connection with the government to put up another in the Kariba, you know, man-made lake to boost the power, hydropower energy, how then would they be able to manage the other aspect? I think that their hands are already full. I mean, a simple example, another aspect, Titus, I can give you is your dad in Southern Province.
Yeah.
When he put up that farm, look at how long it took him just to ask Zesco to allow him to have electricity at his home. That's the simplest question I can give you. So there's a lot of inertia going on at Zesco itself. That's why I say that the hands for Zesco are full. It has to take a complete overhaul first before one gets to add on. It's like you're adding on a problem on top of a problem.
Yes.
Because just to pick up... where Chela has left off. This is what I would say about Zesco. To a certain extent, what was done to, I don't know whether it was still called Zamtel then, when they separated the postal wing to the telecoms wing, the Zamtel thing. I think to a certain extent, if they do that to Zesco, probably to help. Break it into divisions or certain wings which offer particular specific services.
Yes.
Because the way it is right now, it seems to be overwhelmed. And the government is just holding on to it for political reasons, just like they do to ZNBC. Mm-hmm. I was even shocked when Zanaco was surprised. I'm like, wow, okay.
May I cut you short there? Mind you, it's not for political reasons. It could be for security reasons as well.
Yes, sir.
You cannot privatize a national grid. You see? You can't privatize a national grid per se. Because you privatize a national grid, it's in the hands of foreigners. What if the foreigners take away, you and me have only got one Zambia. What if they take away that country? Then what?
Yeah, but Chela, here where we are in the Western world, these grids are controlled by private companies. And I don't know what national security is there when you, like Mr. Honorable Chela is saying, you can only have electric for 3 hours in the day.
Yeah.
Why security is that in the first place? So
it's
I don't think there is any security to preserve here. We've lost it as far as energy is concerned.
Can I quickly finish?
Okay.
It is true that they are being run by private hands. But mind you, they are being run by local private hands.
Exactly.
Not foreign private hands.
Right.
How
so
many, the private sector in Zambia. Look at the private sector in Zambia. Which among the private sector is ready right now to run ZESCO and run it effectively?
Without that
relative.
Well, Copper Belt Power Company has proved to be effective, and they've been doing this for quite a while. Say a situation was allowed where Copper Belt Power is allowed to sell to, you know, residential people, say, in Copper Belt, Northwestern, and Wapula, that region.
Mm-hmm.
That creates some kind of competition and wakes up ZESCO. But as it is right now, ZESCO has no incentive to wake up.
Unfortunately, Roger, Copper Belt Power is not a generator of electricity. They are just distributors.
Yes, yes. And that's what happens even here in even the U.S. and everywhere. They may have one generator, but they have various distributors.
Right.
Kitwe as its own way of distributing. They find people in Lusaka province. They have their own distributor. So at the end of the day, ZESCO will focus only on generating power and not all other this stuff which they may not have any idea on doing.
But you're talking about Copper Belt Energy. Mind you, Rodney Sisala came from Copper Belt Energy to come and run ZESCO. He was poached from Copper Belt Energy to come and run ZESCO in Lusaka. Where are we at right now? That's a big question.
Well, let me not say anything. Okay, I will say this. It is not Rodney Sesara going to ZESCO which will change things, or Roger Chari going to run ZESCO which will change things. As Rajshara has said, it will be the mindset from Saka which said, from now on, people in the Copper Belt will be saved by this one. People from here will be saved. Sisala is just going into the structure which is already there, and that structure
individual
is called broken.
No point taken.
So let me. I wanted to contribute on Chela's assertion that national security is also important in considering the privatization of ZESCO, if at all it will ever come to that. If you look at most multinational organizations that are in Zambia, they tend to have a very, very strong hold on the government. They literally manipulate the government policy to their advantage. And if we were to say ZESCO is privatized, the organization that may come in may even exert more pressure and want to exercise more control on the government. I'm saying this, for example, look at the way the tax has been reversed at the insistence of the mining companies. And we are just talking about a mineral tax. Or how about a company that is controlling almost the entire aspect of the Zambian economy? That would be a very, very dangerous move at the moment. That's the same argument we have at the moment with the privatization of Zamtel. We don't know which company will come in, and if they are going to have a very strong influence, then that's a very dangerous move to do at the moment. Unless we can develop a system where we have efficient controls and monitoring of the operations of the multinational organizations. Remember, these multinational organizations may be agents of the home countries where they are coming from. And when they come into Zambia, they may want to pursue policies that are propagated by their home countries.
Yeah, Francis, just real quick, let me add on to that. See, the issues of privatization in Zambia really haven't worked. And history has shown that see, most of these companies are privatized. Take Lenco, for instance.
Beston, let me cut you short, my brother. We have only 1 minute to the time, and maybe you can go ahead and tell our listeners what's coming up next, and they should call in the next segment. You can finish maybe what you're doing.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, the next segment we have Mr. Ruben Lifuka, the president for Transparency International Zambia chapter. We'll best be looking at issues to do with governance and the way public funds are managed and who's responsible for what and the role TI Zambia is playing in that particular scenario. Thank you.
Okay. And we thank you, Honorable Chala, who agreed to stay with us in this segment. Honorable Chala, we are very thankful you stayed with us, and we look forward to having you maybe for an hour.
That would be nice. Thank you very much for remembering me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Welcome. Go ahead, Francis.
Yes. This topic, ladies and gentlemen, will be continued next week if we are going to have Honorable Nawaki on the program next week. And I hope those who called in today can come back next week. It's like we have a very, very hot issue that we need to discuss. Mm-hmm. And we might get even better insight from somebody who served as a Minister of Energy. Please remember to come back next week. Thank you so much for taking part in this program for today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call in the next one.